welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, James O'Neill, Lucy Bella-Earl, and I, Luke Cutforth, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslave will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research,
Luke, I think Lucy's got a joke she wants to tell.
Lucy, do you want to tell a joke?
No, I can't tell that joke.
It's go on, Lucy, go on. Tell a joke.
Tell a joke.
And then okay. I'll carry on with my intro. Thanks for interrupting.
What did the pregnant woman say to the naughty, naughty fetus?
What did he say?
Go to your womb.
After which, we will have an attempt at educating Josh. Guys, welcome to a particularly nasal episode this week. Both I and James are a mess. Is anyone else nasally in a mess?
I can make myself.
Please do. What would that sound like?
Oh my
God. Wow. Wow. Okay.
Lucy lives on a farm, and I feel like that's all she hears all day.
Hey, Will's lovely. Don't be rude.
Oh.
Last week, James, you started with the first story of the week. Can you please tell me how did your story perform on Twitter?
My question, no.
My question last week was, is KSI a positive role model for young men?
No.
And 83% of people said no.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Kind of easy, that one, isn't it?
Well, hang on.
Who thought of that question? Who thought there was going to be much debate about that? Who's that fucking genius?
Honestly, Josh, I don't think I know you anymore. It was me. James, what did Twitter say?
Freya said on Twitter, I don't think he has an obligation to do positive things just to educate his audience. You can't ask somebody to change just because they could influence people badly. It's more about educating the audience to know better.
Do you know what? I really like when people on Twitter agree with me.
It's rare, but it does
very
happen.
Rare. Yeah.
It's
very
Lucy,
rare.
How did your story perform?
So I asked if payday loan companies are ethical, and 73% of people agreed with me and said no.
Woo!
Oh, I think you took that one quite personally,
just
Lucy.
Just as someone was agreeing with Josh, Twitter completely disagreed with Josh.
Well, I am actually surprised that 20% did agree with him.
That is a lot for Josh, 20%.
No, it's not, guys. I get quite a few people on my side. And to be honest, I'm putting across the more controversial opinion as well. So.
And that's very brave.
I have a harder
you.
Job. That sounded really... That was lovely, but condescending at the same time. I don't know how to take it.
Anyway, Francis on Twitter said, these companies are set up for short-term circumstances, which is why they're known as payday loans. Ooh, that bit of sass there.
That's a bit mansplaining, I think.
Right,
okay, I'm Freya and Francis, both of you, I stand this completely. This is fantastic.
They say it's up to the customers to read the terms and conditions and make sure they understand them. Can't argue with that.
Educate yourself.
Wow.
Yes.
All right, and Luke... That's my name.
What was your... Oh, wait, that's me.
My story on Twitter was, is stop and search an acceptable use of police force?
Yours was so divided this
week. We're very divided, yes. Yes was 52% and no was 41% with 7% saying other. Rosa said on Twitter, stop and search rates are much higher in deprived communities and for ethnic minorities, which is something I kind of wanted to cover. We didn't get too much time to cover it last week, so this is really important. Zero tolerance policies decrease police trust into private areas and make people less likely to report serious crimes as they believe the police are against them. To best protect vulnerable communities, the level of policing must be tailored to the area to ensure people feel the police are there to help them.
How did that fit in one tweet?
I have no idea. Twitter's getting
rid of... essay.
Thanks for the essay, Rosa.
Fair, I think that's a brilliant statement. I don't know how much I agree with it without thinking about it a little bit more, but like it does make sense as a default that if you take away someone's right, they're going to trust you less. So do you want to trust with the police force or do you want to enforce with it? Like,
that's the essential
argument.
It's
a really good point. Yeah.
Okay, and James, for the third week in a row, can you please give us your story first? Thank you.
Thank you so much. My story this week comes from E! News, and the headline is Eminem's Kamikaze features anti-gay slurs. Josh, these are the three things you need to know. The 45-year-old rapper dropped a surprise album last week, which includes a diss track where he calls fellow artist Tyler, the Creator, a faggot. Eminem's slur refers to multiple hints on Tyler's own album, Flower Boy, released in 2017, that he might be gay or bisexual. This isn't the first time Eminem has been called up on homophobic language, and many have argued the necessity for fans to call out rappers who weaponize the identities of others against them. However, Eminem has pushed back, saying, those kind of words, when I came up battle rapping or whatever, I never equated those words with being gay. It was more like calling someone a bitch or a punk or an asshole. My question to you, Josh, is it okay for Eminem to use the word faggot?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
I'm struggling with this one. I think it is because of the platform and because of his usage of the word and what he intends behind his meaning on it. And that coupled with his platform. So yeah, I think it is okay for Eminem specifically to use it.
For Eminem to use it?
Yeah. I don't understand why people are calling him out for using the word faggot, but they're okay with him saying the word bitch.
Well, they're not necessarily. There are a lot of people who would say that's not okay.
I've not seen this outcry for every single rapper who uses the word bitch over and over and over and over again.
That's because... Well, I suppose, yes, but...
It's rap. Words like this are used. If you don't like it, don't listen to it. Eminem isn't an advocate for gay rights. He's not an advocate for any of that. His job is to literally be as controversial and diss someone in the most demeaning way he possibly can. So his usage of the word, to me, makes complete sense. Would I use the word? No. But does he use it? Yeah, and I think it's fine for him to do so.
He may not be an advocate for gay rights, but he has said, when asked about this, that he is absolutely fine with people being gay, and that's not who he is. He's not a homophobe.
No, he's had more pro-gay movements than he has anti-gay.
If people give him feedback saying, we're people who this word was used against, and it upsets us when you use it, and he's been doing it since 2000. He's doing this for 18 years.
And he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's already clarified that he does not mean it in that way at all.
But if that's not what the word means anymore, do you not think that he should just hurry up and just stop using it?
No.
If it's hurting people.
Don't listen to him then. If you don't like it, he's an artist who's using it in a very specific way, don't listen to his music. If he's hurting you that much, you're obviously going to be bothered about the word bitch, you're going to be bothered about the boy honky, whitey, you're going to be bothered about every other word that comes out of his mouth.
The problem is that people who don't find it offensive, people who aren't gay, don't know, will listen to it, pick up on the words, and then just start using it in real life when, you know, there's no choice to not listen.
I mean, I think that's a bit condescending towards most people. Well, I'm children, not that heavily influenced.
There will be children.
Any child that is listening to that kind of explicit content, it hasn't been raised well enough in my personal opinion.
When did you start listening to Eminem?
I think I was about 16.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
In fact, I wasn't allowed to listen to Eminem at all until I was older.
But say, for example, Eminem gets a lot of stick because he is... arguably the most successful rapper in the world, and rap was started inside of the black community, right? And if Eminem was decided to use the N-word because it was used on the street where he grew up, and it was used as not necessarily a deliberately racial slur, it was just used to mean you're a bad person, like he's saying this word is, why would that not be okay?
I have white friends who grew up in very, very black communities whose black friends are absolutely fine with them saying the N-word.
But he doesn't.
But not everyone.
And he, I assume, deliberately doesn't and wouldn't. I don't think he's going, oh, well, I just have never used that word and it's never been part of my life. I assume.
He has used the word.
Has he? I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't listen to
Eminem.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Eminem has used that word multiple times.
Really?
I don't think...
Wow!
I think that was a different controversy, though.
Everyone can say everything. Yeah.
Everyone can say everything. People should just own up. People should just own slurs. People shouldn't be giving these slurs the power that they have, because the stigma behind these words is what gives it the power now.
Exactly.
But it's not realistic to go, like, well, everyone should just stop being offended by these words. People are always going to be offended.
I'm uncomfortable saying the N-word. I don't say the N-word. I'm uncomfortable saying the F-word. I don't say the F-word in relation to this story. Oh, I mean, I do. I can... I don't know. Like, I don't know whether to say it, whether to not say it anymore. I feel like by not saying it, I'm giving it more power. I'm keeping it as an issue. That's what I genuinely believe inside myself. But I don't, out of this kind of... That's how I was brought up. It was like, you do not say that word.
Yeah.
At all.
So one word I'm struggling with is the word gay. And when I was a kid... I used to say, oh my God, that's so gay, as in like, that's so like uncool or something like that.
Yeah, I think
like
everyone did. My dad had a very serious word with me and was like, that's not okay. And then I never did it again.
Oh, well, I didn't
and
realize
it sounds
until...
like that's what Eminem's being given by the entire world and he's just carrying on.
Well, no, Eminem's, it's not by the entire world. It's by bloody weekend Twitter warriors and
most news outlets as well.
Well, if you let me finish. And by some magazines and some newspapers that are just clinging to a story that's going to do well. The album launched and went straight to number one with no promotion and no material promoing it. That's why people are jumping on this as much as they are. He's used that word consistently over multiple albums. He's used far worse words. But again, the use of the word bitch, are you going to make every rapper not use the word bitch?
Or hoe?
Or hoe? or whore or
I
slut.
Think for me,
they're all very derogatory words.
For me personally, well,
in fact, is it not more inclusive? And this is a bit of a paradox. Is it not more inclusive that the gays, that gay people have their own slur?
Yes, but they use that. That is true, and that's reclaiming of a slur. But Eminem's
but
not.
But you know what I mean? White
man.
People have a slur. Black people have a slur. Straight people have slurs. Women have slurs against them. If you become this thing that it's not okay to have any word that's negative towards you, gays can be bad, gays can be wrong, gays can be dissed as well. I don't understand.
I don't think that bitch as a word means is referring to all women anywhere. It's referring to a certain type of derogatory term towards women who, towards like the women you think you own, which obviously is horrible, but faggot as a word is used to put down someone who's gay. That's it. Just the fact that they're gay.
I've got a lyric from one of Eminem's old songs here. My words are like a dagger, like a jagged edge that will stab you in the head, whether you're a fag or a les, or a homosex, hermaf, or transvest, pants or dressed, hate fags. That's the answer's a yes.
Oh.
Right. Ooh.
So that
goes against the idea that he's not using it as a homophobic slur.
I really don't think you can critique the guy. I mean, I don't understand. Honestly, I don't understand how anyone goes to Eminem and then goes, oh my God, he just said that word. Like, it'd be more weird for me if he didn't say it.
So that's really interesting, Josh. So you're basically, well, what's interesting there is you're saying that basically the word shouldn't be used, yet you're okay with Eminem using it because of the
he's saying context matters.
Context matters.
So he shouldn't use the word then.
Intent and content matters, of course it does. But also, he's trying to offend someone, so why wouldn't he use the word that offends them the most?
So basically what you're saying is the problem we have is with what rap is about, not about
yes,
use of that
word.
Yes,
your problem's with rap.
Okay.
100%.
Rap is being mean. Rap is being mean. Like
your
that.
Problem isn't with Eminem, it's with rap. And yeah, I can see you have a deeper problem there, but I mean, nah, not going to happen. Especially not with Eminem. Like, yeah, no.
All right, well, you can let us know what you think in the polls over on Twitter at Educating Josh. It is time for the second story of the week. That's Lucy's story.
So my headline comes from the BBC. Government proposes energy drinks ban for children. Here are the three things that you need to know, Josh. Research has previously suggested that UK youngsters are among the highest consumers of energy drinks in Europe. I know, shock.
Shock.
The drinks contain high levels of caffeine and sugar, often much more than those of standard soft drinks.
Oh my God, I just love how this is coming across as if it's news.
Oh, well. Excessive consumption has been linked to a range of health issues in children, from obesity, tooth decay, headaches and sleep problems, to stomach aches and hyperactivity. Energy Drinks Europe, which represents drinks manufacturers, said a 250ml can of energy drink typically contained about the same amount of caffeine as a cup of coffee, and as much sugar as that in juices and soft drinks. A spokesman added, for all ages, there are much greater contributors of caffeine and sugar in the diet than energy drinks. A sales ban is therefore arbitrary, discriminatory, and not effective. So, my question for you, Josh, is, should there be a ban on under-18s buying energy drinks?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
First of all, how is this a story? Why isn't this common knowledge?
Well, it's a story.
Absolutely ridiculous. Like, that second paragraph. Excessive consumption has been linked to a range of health issues from obesity, tooth decay, headaches and sleep problems, hyperactivity. Of course it is. Like,
well,
that,
I mean, they have
that
word
should
requirements,
be common
they need to
knowledge.
Out.
Like, sure.
I don't understand. Yeah.
I mean, the story is that we're thinking of banning it, not that energy drinks are bad for you. Everyone knows
my
that.
God. It's like, second of all, I'm kind of split about this because I hate that there's like this whole like evil sugar corporation thing. I do kind of believe in that side of stuff and how they're trying to keep it relevant and all this kind of shit, but should there be a bit? No, not at all. There shouldn't.
Okay. That was very decisive, Josh. Thank you. Right, now all of us need to attack him.
Can I be finding him?
Lucy, what
attack
do you think?
Me.
I am only okay with it being banned if we also ban coffee for under 18s.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Coffee would only fix a caffeine issue, whereas this is because people don't need to put sugar in coffee and they put their own amount of sugar in coffee. Whereas this is not targeting just caffeine, it's targeting caffeine and sugar and the size of the drinks, etc.
But if you're banning energy drinks on the basis of lowering caffeine and sugar, then you have to ban everything else that's got high amounts of caffeine and high amounts of sugar.
Yeah, I just think it's completely...
Whether it's both or either or.
This isn't a nanny state. Like, we don't need to look after people this much.
But it's also not the same because I looked up how much caffeine is in an energy drink. And I looked up how much caffeine is in a coffee, and it's roughly the same amount of caffeine per 100 mil. However, when you drink an energy drink, you get half a litre. Nobody drinks half a litre of coffee unless maybe you go to Starbucks and get one of the giant ones, in which case I would agree. Having giant, ridiculous, big coffees for anyone under 18 should be banned in the same way as this.
No, it shouldn't be banned. You're going to control what people drink.
Well, I am in
That's
a world
a
where we control...
statement.
I am in a
no,
world where we control alcohol
it's self-control,
or we control smoking.
And if they're too young... No, we shouldn't control smoking. I think there being an age limit on smoking is silly.
What?
And
people need a chance for their brains to develop before they can make the decision whether they... you know, consume something.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop
anyone.
And cancer. Also, we're not controlling. We're only controlling people who are not yet able legally to control themselves. It's only up to 18. I'm not saying ban it from everyone. I'm just saying until you're 18 years old.
You're not saying it.
I just love the way.
Well, neither are they.
They won't be able to buy energy drinks, but they can get married. Ah, oh, joy.
I'm sorry, guys. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's just people. I don't understand.
I agree with you, in an ideal world, it's even a thing. People should be able to control themselves and not be idiots. Like, yes, I fully agree with you on that.
Yes.
But these are, in many cases, they're children, and we do accept that children don't necessarily make the best decisions for themselves in the long run, which is why they're children, and we're adults, and we learn and read things and change our minds, and why we have parents. We don't go out and go, like, well, we'll just put our 13-year-old on the street and it can fend for itself because it's an adult.
Okay, well, it's not on the street. You don't have money unless you have a part-time job or your parents give you money. If a parent's deciding to give their children money and have pocket money, they're obviously deciding to trust what they buy with it. It has to be self-policed. I don't understand. Control over something as silly as this is just ridiculous. I mean... I just don't get it. I just think it's a waste of time and energy, and the fact that...
Well, we'll have some energy drinks then.
Wonderful. Hey! I must say that when I was a teenager, when I was doing my A-levels, energy drinks formed a big part of my cramming routines for my
really?
A-levels.
You're yeah. a very... I think you were probably...
I would have expected the opposite of you.
You were probably a more self-controlled child, though. I know a lot... I did know a lot of kids growing up who were... addicted to this stuff.
I was about to say, is that a thing in the UK as well? Because in Australia, energy drinks were cool
yes.
to buy
yes,
and to drink
exactly.
at school every day. And people would come in, would come in with like 3 cans of energy drink and drink them all in the day.
And Josh and I were talking recently about is it Monster Energy that market to kids at mm-hmm. music festivals by giving.
Oh, this is really funny. A friend of ours is absolutely teetotal, no drugs, no alcohol, no energy drinks. They're the healthiest person I know. He was on tour in America and I saw him with a can of Monster in his hand. I was like, what the hell has happened to this person? And then a friend of mine turned around and went, well, actually, Monster on Vans Warped Tour sponsor the event. And there are these Monster cans that are water.
It has water.
So they give out water to the band members on stage. So it looks like they're drinking Monster Energy. And actually,
they're just drinking water.
Now, that's manipulative and disgusting, in my opinion.
Really, I hate that.
I think it's manipulative and disgusting and brilliant. Like, I am so proud of that marketing
person. Yeah, it's very clear. How about then, Josh, if we were to stop marketing energy drinks to kids?
That was literally my point. So I
are
think
we
that,
marketing them to kids?
I think that
well, we are if we're doing it at music festivals.
I think it's less that. I think not all of them. So the same way that fast food and energy drinks are banned on kids' TV, I think you should choose the platform. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should be, like the same way we've taken it, cigarette packets being attractive and made to look,
sure.
you know, appealing. Mm-hmm. They're bright colours, they're children colours, they're vibrant, they're made to look appealing to kids a lot of the time. Monster Energy and stuff like that are made to look hip and cool.
Or like edgy.
Did you just say hip?
Hip.
Lucy, we just had a whole story about rap from us four. I think just saying hip is not a shock at this point.
It is the most uncool thing I've ever said, yeah.
Hip.
I could kind of agree with that. Like, stop making it attractive to kids.
But why?
But banning them is
But
just,
why is that a different thing?
Because
if you're imposing a regulation on a company who's making a perfectly legal product...
Because then you have to ban the amount of sugar in cereals there's such a huge thing to... And maybe then what you're arguing is the amount of sugar in things, which is ridiculous, which I agree with. I think at the manufacturing level, there should be some control over how much sugar can go. So, for example, I don't think people take into account how much people eat certain things, but again, like some self-control. Like, I don't want to be a babied nation or a babied world. Everyone needs to wake the fuck up themselves and have some self-control.
I agree it's with simple. You. Not realistic. All I was saying was, in a world where
but just because it's not realistic doesn't mean you give the control to someone else. That is literally like an I. That is a that you're taking away from a democracy. Then you're literally saying you want control over people because it's the better way of being.
Just like, on the packaging thing, before we go away from that, by saying "don't do this," I automatically think I want to do that. Like, don't touch that. I will touch it.
What parents are sat there going, yes, I agree. They should ban sugary drinks because I'm not doing it.
A lot, apparently.
Who's not doing their job? Like, just, you know, if you... Okay, yeah, okay. A kid may find a way of getting one. They're around at a friend's house, or they're at a party, or they get one at school, or they borrow some money from someone, and they have one. Who cares? Do you know what I mean? If they have the odd one because they're cheating the system or whatever, fine. But in general, if you're not allowed to consume it, you don't. Like, I wasn't allowed sweets growing up. I was allowed some chocolate sometimes. At parties, I used to do that embarrassing thing. I don't know if anyone else had to experience this, where, you know, when people's birthdays at school and they gave out lollipops, I had to be that little kid that was like, sorry, I'm not allowed hard sweets and sugar and things like that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because that's how I was brought up. So I think, I'm sorry, bring your kids up better. Don't do that. Let the government do it for you.
I agree with you. I just take issue with the fact that you're saying that the solution instead is to make the packaging less attractive, but also that people need to gain some self-control, because surely that's the opposite argument. If people need to gain some self-control, they need to self-control with flashy packaging versus bland packaging.
Yes. I was just giving an alternative.
Right, okay.
Like a way of going, well, they could do this.
So in conclusion, people are useless and need to have some self-control. I kind of agree with you. I just
capitalism
think...
Capitalism wins again.
In a situation where we're in a culture that does ban certain things, then we should ban all the bad things.
Well, capitalism does win because we have no self-control.
Exactly.
Like, you can't... I hate people that sit there and go, oh, capitalism, I hate these companies that are making money off kids having sugar, but don't do anything about it themselves. Like... Again, I think it's more about education. The government shouldn't ban them. You should be educated from a young age about how dangerous it is, how unhealthy it is, what's a reasonable amount of sugar to have on a daily... I remember when I actually found out, I think I was about 22, 23, when I realised the amount of sugar in a teaspoon compared to the milligrams of sugar on various packets of food and various different fooding items, and actually put two and two together and went... Wow, that's a lot of sugar in that. I didn't expect that. Or, wow, that's a lot of sugar in... I was like, I'd never really been taught it.
It's a lot of sugar.
Education is the key. And you can let us know what you think over on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the last story of the week. That is my story. Josh, my story comes from Sky News, and it is that French schools ban mobile phones as parents say the UK should be next. It's another banning story.
We just love talking about banning things anyway. Banning words, banning drinks, and banning phones.
I am, however, quite confident that we'll convince Josh on this one if he's not already of the opinion.
Do you know, I think I have a problem with control, guys.
You do.
Do you?
I haven't noticed. Josh, are the three things that you need to know. Mobile phones have been banned for primary schools and middle schools in France amid a government drive to improve focus and prevent online bullying. The government passed a law banning their use during the school day, with exceptions for disabled children and in case of an emergency. French Education Minister Jean-Michel Blanquer said the law aims to prevent thefts and violence, reduce bullying, and improve focus in lessons as well as communication between pupils. However, children are growing up in a world dominated by smartphones. Some argue that instead of keeping this significant societal change outside of school, we are better off educating students in school about the benefits and risks of smartphone use. This includes teaching children about digital and cyberbullying and its harmful effects, and how to responsibly use various social media platforms that are accessible from smartphones. My question for you is, should schools ban mobile phones? 20 seconds, Josh. Go.
I mean, just repeat the third paragraph, and that's my opinion.
What? However, children are growing up in a world dominated by... Oh, my gosh! Okay, so your opinion is...
Literally, this includes teaching children about digital and cyberbullying and its harmful effects and how to responsibly use education. Use social media platforms that are accessible from their smartphones. Like,
wait, see, we should be teaching Facebook in school, then?
Yes.
No!
Are you kidding me?
No!
Why no? Not what's
Facebook,
more relevant?
Because Facebook is a private company. It should not
when
have...
When's the last time you used algebra and when's the last time you used Facebook?
Because algebra is about developing the way your brain is made.
I guarantee you. Yeah, okay.
Can you imagine in like 10 years' time, like, I've got a GCSE in Facebook. And they're like, what's that? And it's like, oh, it was this thing.
Oh, it was this thing ages ago.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I think you're kind of silly for laughing at that.
That is disgusting.
I think that's a very ignorant view to not think that's going to happen.
That means the government is paying to improve Facebook and Google and Twitter's grasp over society.
Of course, it's not going to be a physical thing of... Mm. It's not going to be Facebook, but social media has got to be taught in schools.
So I'm not saying a GCSE.
No, of course not.
I'm saying integrate it into like the PSHE or the personal social health classes or whatever they're called nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. But I think from a lot of people and more people than that, it's important and it's relevant. But
I agree with you there.
Do you really
teach them that? Teach them taxes. Well,
yeah,
teach
obviously
them
it's
finance,
not going to be Facebook.
Teach
but,
them cooking.
It just needs to be an essential skills.
Do you
class
all think that social media should be taught in schools?
Yes.
How to use it properly? Yeah.
How do you?
Internet safety needs to be taught.
Internet
really?
Safety, being online, like, of course.
Okay, that's weird because for me, I'm in a sort of unique position in this because I started social media when I was 15 and I've never used it as an individual person. I've only ever used it as a job, and for me, that is great. I love that because I feel like I've not got sucked into this sort of really scary dopamine-driven addictive thing, mm-hmm. and I see while social media has some good parts, I don't think it needs to be taught in schools, and a lot of the parts that you would teach in schools are the negative parts. Now, I agree with you that it's so addictive that maybe we need to warn against the bad things about it. But the idea of using it of teaching how to use social media seems to me...
Not how to use the social media platforms, internet safety in general.
Yeah,
right, internet safety, yes, but that
I
already is taught
about
in schools.
That at school.
Yeah, that is in schools.
I had a really bad social media addiction. I got that dopamine kick, and the only thing that cured me from it was actually starting to work on social media, and now I hate social media.
That's weird.
But it does need to be taught. If I was taught about that little thrill that you get from a notification at school, mm-hmm. I maybe would have been more aware
of what's happening.
Yeah, of everything that's kicking in.
That's very true. Yeah, that's very, very true.
And it's about how to use it responsibly. Like, and the age and the world that we live in, it's not teaching them how to use social media. Here, open the app, make a username, log in here. Like, that's not what's being suggested.
It's how to monetize something.
It's how to be... how the fact that, you know, teaching kids that, well, actually... your Facebook, your Twitter are accessible by future employers, that they can see the kind of things that you're talking about and that you're tweeting.
Show them some case studies of people who've lost jobs from it.
Yeah, exactly. And show them the harm that some of their tweets can have when they start bullying people, like the stories that have happened. And do you know what I mean? Like, that's what's meant by teaching social media. It's not like... I think you were taking it quite literally there in being right. like teaching how to use it. It's not. It's how to use it responsibly, the dangers. Mm-hmm. You know, people... I think a lot of people see a Twitter photo and an amount of followers, and you don't have to be that intelligent to trick someone into thinking you're real when you're not, like catfishing, things like that. The whole idea of, you know, you have no idea who this person is on the internet.
Okay, well, the central question we're asking here, I think you've convinced me on that, but the central question we're asking here is whether we ban them from schools. And for me, the majority of the
school can do what they want.
But whether we legislate that on a countrywide level, because the majority of the time, most of the functions that your phone does, you don't actually need within a school day. And the school day is carved out of the rest of your day to... basically learn and be social with people in the real world and be a human being. You can go and do your internet stuff the rest of the day. You finish at 3 p.m.
Okay, so I have an issue with schools in that I think they're kind of... It's important to educate people, but the way we do that is interesting. It's almost militant. So uniforms, lining up... There's a thing about the register, things like this. It's like, has anyone died in the last time has anyone died since the last time I looked around the room?
You need to alert the authorities.
So, but like, I think we're taught very early on to listen to authority. Which is kind of, I don't know, I think schools should be more about
education. The solution to that is not to bring a phone in.
I agree that the school system's a mess. I'm not saying
that the solution of that is to bring your phone in. I'm just saying it's just another form of control. I don't know. It's like, I get that. I mean, schools have some ridiculous rules anyway. They don't like purple hair. You can't express yourself in some schools. Like, I think mobile phones are banned in a lot of schools anyway.
They sometimes even check your lunch. But anyway.
what school did you go to? What were people smuggling in their lunches?
Oh, no, generally, parents can get told off for schools not being, lunches not being nutritious enough. Not being good enough.
What? Oh, I think fair enough. Like, if the kid brings in a packed lunch and it's full of rubbish, then fair enough.
We come from two different worlds.
I think that So I think that mobile phones are an essential part of teen social lives now.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I remember always texting my mum trying to organise my pickup, and it would have been so difficult to do that without the phone. I think have a box,
yeah, and I'm
ban them for lessons, but between classes and before and after, you need your phone. It's a matter of safety.
We had a box.
Everyone in your life around you has a phone. You need one too to be in contact with them.
Absolutely. Imagine the first kid that's abducted because they didn't have a phone to get home or ring their mum.
Well, then what if another? Because
the point I was going to bring up is that if you're going to ban anything, ban smartphones and allow
mobile. That's what I was going to say. Is the thought I thought initially was, well, what if you had either the option of bringing in a dumb phone, or having
Who's
a situation
for these dumb phones,
or having a situation where you can bring your phone in, but your school or your parents can lock every feature other than the essential phoning in an emergency. Because that's the initial first argument is, what if there's an emergency? Well, the parents have phones and the school has phones.
The point, I'm sorry, but the point of school isn't to force, like, isn't to control entirely. It is to teach ideals and to recognize something. If a kid is at a point where they can't listen to the basic rule of don't use your phone during a lesson, that kid needs more work. That kid needs...
I think every kid did that at some point.
No, of course not. I was told, don't use your phone in class. I didn't. I'd use it on my lunch break. I'd text my mum. How are you? I'd text
You'd
my
never
brother.
Text under the desk. Huh? Ever. You would never text under the desk.
No. Unless really? It was RE. And oh, RE was every a now bunch and again. Of rubbish.
So I went to a girls' school for a little bit. The girls who then went to mixed sixth forms or mixed universities then went absolutely bananas with the boys there.
Bananas.
Absolutely bananas.
I mean, this is a good point.
And I fear that banning phones, you know, when they leave, they're just going to be bananas as well.
Oh, God.
Not bananas.
No, I do agree with you.
Banana phone.
You know, people are going to then have this thing that they were never allowed, and then they're going to use it too much, and this whole moderation is not going to be there for them. Yeah, they haven't learned how to be in everyday life with a mobile phone that you probably want to use all the time but can't.
All right, well, you can let us know what you think over on our polls on Twitter at EducatingJosh. It is time for the quickfire round. Josh, kids can now get into Fortnite dance lessons in order to learn moves such as the floss and the orange justice. Has Fortnite gone too far, or is this a great way to get kids active?
It's brilliant.
Okay. I agree.
Get kids dancing.
Fantastic. A shop in Kuwait has been caught sticking googly eyes on fish to make them look more fresh than they are. Should supermarkets be allowed to make produce look fresher than it actually is?
Do you want to see a picture of this, Josh?
I've seen it. We covered it on the radio this morning.
Oh, really?
I've already seen it. Yeah, it's hilarious. And no, they can't. They should be able to do that.
It's funny.
Googly
though.
Eyes on
so
fish.
Hilarious.
It's like abusing a dead body.
Did you see it when the googly eye fell off?
No.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the actual eye?
No.
Oh, my God. It's terrifying. Hold on.
The average Brit does just 12 good deeds a month, three of which are in the hope of getting something good in return, according to a study. Is it okay to do a good deed in the hope of having a favour returned?
Who's calculated this?
That's a study, Josh.
And how?
A study.
How and who? And stop doing that and work on curing cancer instead, because you have a lot of free time.
Stop that right now.
Yes, stop it. Do something else.
And the good news story of the week, a hero milkman performs random acts of kindness on milk rounds. He's returned pets and laptops and even chased thieves whilst on his round. So hopefully he's
not
doing that.
Well, actually, hang on, wait. A bit of a PSA here. He is not a trained police officer and should not be pursuing criminals. That is naughty.
Well, he's a milkman.
Vigilante justice.
Yes, exactly. That is vigilante justice.
He can throw milk at them.
Naughty boy.
And also, I very much hope he's not doing that just to get a good favour in return.
Oh, dear.
All right, that's the end of the show. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Educating Josh, where there'll be polls and content from each of today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We also want you to send in more stories for next week's Quickfire Round. Please go subscribe, and most importantly, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
What is a kamikaze? Because I thought it was a sex act.
Lucy, every week without fail.
What is it?
Every week.
Oh no, that's Bukaki. Okay.